Oh, rerun. Rerun.
Blog Talk Radio.
Glenn?
Yeah.
Hi. Welcome to International Black Summit Talk Show. We're live here with Glenn Greenidge and myself, Clara Lyons Devon, and we are pinch hitting for Ms. Shakesha, who is in Belize. And we have wanted to bring you a really fabulous live show from Belize, but we're having technical difficulties, so we won't be able to do that this evening. Glenn, is there something that you'd like to share?
Well, I was just going to actually start off by reading the Declaration.
Right.
And this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and this is the segment called Let's Celebrate, which is part of the Sunday evening programming. And my name is Glenn Greenidge, and I'm going to read you the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. All over the world, March 8th, 2009. Moment of silence, please. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. So how is life treating you in your part of the world, Glenn?
It is good. It is challenging. It is all of the above.
Well, I want to celebrate and acknowledge you for jumping in here with me for Shakesha's show. Like I was saying, we really tried very diligently, but with all of the technology, we weren't able to complete. But we will be bringing back the Let's Celebrate show live from Belize next second Sunday in April. In April, yes. So for all of you who are tuning into that show, for that show, we'll have all of the technical difficulties worked out, and you'll be able to hear Shakesha's show live from Brazil, Belize. Yeah. Did we want to do the Muya show, or what would you? How would you like to proceed?
Yeah, that sounds, yes.
Okay. So what we'd like to do is to give you a previous show of Shakesha's, the Muya show, which is the Youth in Action show. And it is a rerun, so if you're trying to call in, you can call in to listen, but we won't be taking any questions for this show segment. Thank you and enjoy.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show with your host tonight, Henrietta Bird. I'm sitting in for Shakesha, who's in Belize. So we will have a wonderful time tonight. Shakesha has a great show set up for you. Her guest tonight is from New Jersey, and his name is Edwin Devon. We'll hear a wonderful story from Edwin about his students that he took to the inauguration, not just his students, but his high-marching band that he took to the inauguration, as well as story time with Chiquesha, and a great interview from or with Edwin Devine. Let's begin tonight with the declaration of the International Black Summit. This is Let's Celebrate, the show on the second Sunday of every month that Chiquesha usually hosts. Our call-in number tonight is 646-716-9827. 646-716-9827. Listen closely as we'd like to discuss your favorite line of the Declaration of the International Black Summit. And it begins, "We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity, with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Chicago, Illinois, February 8th, 2009. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. Good evening again. This is your host, Henrietta Byrd, sitting in for Chiquesha tonight on her program, Let's Celebrate. Chiquesha has a wonderful guest lined up for us tonight in Mr. Edwin Devine, a marching band instructor in Camden, New Jersey, who a little bit later on share with us his experience in taking his marching band to the inauguration. But before we get to that, we'd like to have our story. You know, Chiquesha always has a story that she tells, and she's prepared that for us. So let's sit back and listen to Stories by Chiquesha.
Yes. It's Summit Story Time. It's told by Griot Sister Chiquesha. I invite you to get a nice cup of hot herbal tea or switch into your PJs with the footies and settle in for a little R&R. Sister Chiquesha would like to share a Summit story with you that shares the magic of the Youth Summit. That's right, the International Black Summit has a youth component that reaches out to ages 8 to 21. Well, we'll give you more information on that later. Just settle back in and let Sister Chiquesha check in with you one more time. Do you have your tea? Are you in your warm jammies? Well, here we go. Here comes the magic of the Youth Summit. Here we go. Here we go. Now, the title of this story is called The International Black Summit Tower of Babel. The time, in the late 1990s, location, South Africa. The home of Nelson Mandela. I had just arrived from my 18-hour flight from California. This was my second time, and this was my oldest son, Amafika's first time traveling with me to Africa. We had the opportunity to be in Johannesburg, South Africa. And the youth facilitators were very excited because they were planning their international youth program, was bringing the summit to the youth of South Africa. Now, in doing that, they were excited. They had planned. They had done a lot. And their participants for this particular summit were going to be youth from South Africa. And not only youth from South Africa, but the youth straight from the streets of South Africa. Because something was happening in South Africa. This strange thing was happening where youth were so disillusioned that one of the habits they were developing was sniffing glue. And it was a lady in South Africa that was making her business to gather up the children of South Africa. The children that were being, that were taking on this kind of behavior, she was rescuing from the, yes, she was collecting up these children. And so we had at least 9 participants from South Africa. And the youth facilitators were excited. Here they were in South Africa from America. They had planned. They were so excited. And as they started to speak and look at the faces of the youth, they realized that English was not the first language or the second language of the young people that they were standing in front of. And in that moment, the shock of the expectation that the youth facilitators had, like many Americans who travel to other countries, was that they don't speak English and we don't speak the language that they speak. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, it didn't stop the youth facilitators. They huddled and they realized, we're just going to go on. We're going to see what there is to show up in the space of the summit. And as they just communicated in body language with each of these 9 youth, one of them stood and said, and this is the first time, the magic of the summit, I'm calling, call it Muya, Muya, Muya showed up. Muya showed up in that. Muya was there. Because we were looking at how are we going to communicate with these. And Muya was there. Because, see, Muya has a certain meaning. Muya, Muya, Muya is the magic of our youth in action. It always shows up at the summit. We don't know when, but it always shows up in the adult room and in the youth room. And right now it was showing up when one young man from South Africa stood and explained to the group that not only did he understand English, but that he also understood and spoke the other 8 languages that were needed for the students or the young people of South Africa to understand our youth facilitator. Whoa. Powerful, powerful. So our young people started to share. The young man would translate. There was so much patience in the room. Everyone waited and made sure everybody was on the same page. It was amazing to behold this participation of languages, and the summit was moving, and the things that the youth facilitators had planned to deliver to the youth of South Africa was being delivered. It was an awesome thing to see, to watch them work together. And as they moved through the first day, they completed the objectives and the games and the everything that they had planned to deliver in South Africa to the youth were being delivered. As I looked at these youth facilitators, I was in awe. I was just honored to be in their presence, honored to watch the work of the International Black Summit being delivered through these youth facilitators, and watching the faces of the youth of amazing to watch this take place. Awesome. And when that first day completed, this youth of South Africa went home, and as the youth facilitators of the summit sat together and recapped what had happened that day, they were pleased with the work that they had accomplished. They were pleased with the participation. So the next day came, everyone was up and ready to get started, and we started off the same way. The youth facilitators from America would say the information, and then the young man from South Africa would interpret each language for each student that was there. It was just moving along, just fantastic. The work was getting done of the summit. We were transforming the universe. And the next thing that happened, once again, Muya, Muya, the magic of our youth in action. As one youth facilitator explained something and then turned to the young South African who was translating, the South African young man stood up to go and interpret the information. And all eight of the youth said, "We understand. You do not need to translate." And each of their eight languages, they said, "We understand. We do not need you to interpret." So in other words, in that moment, language was transcended. What needed to be said, what needed to be heard, was taken care of. All in that moment. All in that moment. It didn't take the translation. It didn't take English. It didn't take the understanding of the languages. All it took was what was present in that room, the love for each and every person that was there. It was awesome to behold, to watch these young people do the work of the summit and watch people receive it. It was just an awesome thing. Muya. The magic of our youth in action, once again. And that's how the whole entire summit went for the young people. And they brought that magic inside of the room of the adults as they shared with them their experience of leading the summit for the youth of South Africa. And we were touched. I was touched stage and talk about what they had learned from being youth facilitators. I had the proud moment of watching my son step in front of the stage and say, in front of over 200 people, that he knew that this trip had confirmed for him something that he had always known, and that was that his people was not oppressed, that his people came from greatness, and that in that two-day workshop with the youth from South Africa and watching the youth facilitators present, he was present to our greatness. And the other thing that got present was they didn't have English to be able to share what they had done over the last 2 days. And we always take the opportunity to have the young people come into the room where the adults are and share about what had taken place in their summit. And I, Chakasha, says, what takes place in the youth summit is exactly what's being taken place in the adult summit. There has been times when I'm working with the young people that I will go from the youth room into the adult room, and they will be discussing the very same thing at the same time, and they never planned it like that. And what I say is that it's not two summits going on, but one summit just occurring in two rooms. That what we have is not adult and youth, but that there's the youth in the adult and the adult in the youth. And that's the magic of Muya. Magical. So, with saying that, one of the ways that they presented the information for the adult was to do an art exhibit where the young people expressed what had taken place for them through art. So once again, language was not needed. All it took was our eyes and our hearts. And the young people had drawn pictures that symbolized things like they showed how we related to the Zulus through art. They showed us the bridge between the International Black Summit and the African tribes that we know so much about. They showed us a young man, I remember him drawing a picture of an astronaut taking the International Black Summit. That's right. He had an astronaut, and you could see the astronaut floating in his astronaut suit. And in his hand was the declaration of the International Black Summit. And now he wasn't just taking it from country to country, but the astronaut was taking it from galaxy to galaxy. Whoa. Muya, the magic of our youth in action. So once again, I'm going to close. This is the end of this story. There's many, many more stories to come. And what's going to happen when I say goodnight to you is that we'll come back on and give you information about the Youth Summit, because we want to have your youth in London this year of 2009. And Chakasha, the storyteller, is saying, yes, it's summit story time. It's told by Griot Sister Chakasha.
That was a wonderful, wonderful summary of what went on at the International Black Summit in South Africa. And we love, you know, we love story time with Chakasha because it kind of takes you there. And we're really, really thinking a lot about the youth this evening, especially with the gentleman that we have online to share some more about the youth summit of the International Black Summit. His name is Edwin Devon. And Edwin, I'm going to just to check to make sure you're on the air. I have the last four digits, 6279. Edwin, are you on the air?
Yeah, I'm here, Henrietta.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great tonight.
Great. Good to have you on. And congratulations, first of all, from everybody all over the summit for taking your band to the inauguration. You know, first we need to acknowledge you for that, and so much tonight. But I just wanted to start with if you could just explain to the audience just a little bit about what you do with the International Black Summit first, and then we'll move over to, you know, over to the band.
Okay, since 1999, I've been a facilitator of the International Black Summit, and so my participation, I do a lot to help produce the program during that weekend, the first weekend in August, sound, music, you know, just overall care of the room, just facilitate wherever I need it. And I've been doing that since 99 and haven't missed the summit except Brazil. I missed Brazil because I moved out to California, was not prepared to go that year. But I don't think I'll miss too many more, God willing.
Okay. And like, can you explain facilitation, just what a facilitator does in the summit?
Well, that's really a big explanation, because a facilitator could be a person that takes out the trash to the person that participates in the front of the room, that leads the conversation. It's a catch-all. Whatever it takes to be to have the summit go forward, that's what a facilitator is.
Okay. And that's a great explanation, by the way. Do you have, you know, like the summer for you, can you explain, you know, what it is that has you make a statement that I don't think I will miss, you know, I'll probably ever miss another one, or the statement that you made, you know, about, you know, what is it that makes you go to the summit every year?
Well, just in this conversation that you're like acknowledging me for what happened with the band this year, most of that came out of the summit. We were down in, you know, my place, Tricks Only. Where were we this year? Where was the summit this year?
It was an island. Oh my God!
That's right. And
it starts with an A. What? Oh my God! What's the name of this island? Oh Lord!
It's on the tip of my tongue. But while we were there, I kind of sourced the rest of the year for myself. Part one was getting my students to go to the inauguration to participate, and then part two was to get them to go to London.
Okay.
And right now I'm so much into the come down from the inauguration, I haven't even started looking at how to get them to participate in London.
Okay.
Because that was definitely the part two. And that came out of seeing the young people from Atlanta down in that country we were in.
Right, in the island.
We're going to get somebody to call in and help us.
Right. We have two other callers on the line, and I'll ask. And I'm blank, too. I think it's just an A.
Anguilla?
That's what it is, Anguilla.
Okay.
Right. I knew it started with an A, and it wasn't Antigua, but it's Anguilla.
Yeah, and I'm real bad with names. But while we're in Anguilla, I saw how the young people from Atlanta were just sourcing themselves. You know, they were working through their frustrations, and you know, they got their summit. And I was saying, you know what, being a teacher in an urban school district, sometimes it's not always about the books and, you know, how the lesson plan is supposed to go. It's about getting your students to experience something different, something that they could say, I won't forget that for the rest of my life.
Okay.
You know, leaving them with that instead of leaving them with page 92 of the homework assignment that was supposed to be turned in last week.
Okay. And I love it. And the summit does that. You know, it so does that. It does that for adults, for us adults as well. So you're planning to take a group of youth to London, which is where the 2009 summit is this year in London, England. Do you have, a number that you're trying to get a particular number of students?
No, that was a conversation. Let me clarify that. That was a conversation. It hasn't resurfaced yet because I'm so much into the acknowledgement part of the inauguration. I haven't yet sat down and said, okay, how can we do England?
Right.
Because, like even this week we have several engagements we have to do where we're going to be acknowledged for, our feat and our we received several trophies and awards for the weekend for our participation. Our students won first place in the jazz festival. They won first place in the drum line, and we came in second place in the marching band.
Oh my goodness! Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, tell me this: How did you sit down and begin the journey to the inauguration? How did that come about?
Well, we got an acceptance letter into the festival, inauguration festival. I'd say it was last May or June, and I filled it out and sent it back in because it was just like the conversation of Obama becoming a president. Everybody was like, okay, yeah, that sounds good.
Right.
And then as we started playing the game, Obama started winning states and it just started steamrolling. Then people start asking the question, are you going to go if he doesn't win? We're going to go because he is going to win. That was our conversation the whole way. I mean, we were clear that he was going to win and we were going to go.
Okay.
And we just played the game, and the game we won. The game was a good game.
Okay. And so you filled out the information and sent it back in, and what happened?
Well, we got our acceptance letter, and then it was all about the hard part, the raising the money. And
okay.
we did just about everything you could think of, from carrying cups around the street corners to selling calendars, raffles, asking for donations. I mean, you would have thought sometimes we were going door to door, knocking on doors, just asking people to help us out. And it was a great turnout. Even down to the last minute, we had somebody that backed us, a corporation called the Camden Foundation, Education Foundation. They backed us, but we were able to raise enough money to pay them back the money that they backed us ongoing. So, like, it was a paid-for trip.
Mm. That was great. I mean, that's so nice. So what are some of the first of all, Ed, would you give us the correct name of the band?
Oh, it's the Camden High School Marching Panthers.
Okay.
And then we had the jazz band, and we had the drum ensemble. We went as a package deal because there were several places we played on the way down. While we were there, we just entertained. And, the kids, the students are multi-talented. So, if you ask them to sing, dance, play African music, whatever, they can do it.
Oh, that's great. So it's the Camden High School Marching Band, the Jazz Ensemble, and the
Drum Line.
And the Drum Line. Okay, all from Camden High School. That's
all
correct.
All from the Camden area.
All from the Camden area. Okay.
We started out where it was basically the high school band, but people saw the unique opportunity, and people just started bringing their children around saying, can my child participate? So we basically opened it up to all the schools inside of Camden.
Okay. Oh, that's great. That is really nice. How many places did you perform altogether?
Well, we perform like 3 or 4 times every day, so I'd say maybe 10 or 15 places on our way down. We stopped in Baltimore. We played several times in Virginia. We did the Martin Luther King Parade. We played at Johns Hopkins University. We performed. I have to pull out the itinerary and just run it down.
Okay.
Performed at Bowie. We did several back and forths with black colleges on the way down because we wanted the students to see the evolution. Like, we stopped at the Blacks and Wax Museum first so that we could see how we got where we are today. And that was kind of upsetting for some of them because they hadn't ever really seen the lynchings and things like that. You know, a lot of times we think our students know about the past, but a lot of them don't know about what went on, you know, pre-slavery and after slavery. They know about it, but they haven't seen the pictures or, you know, been exposed to it the way the Blacks and Wax has it right there for you to see.
Okay. That was nice. That was really a great way to start it off. And it, you know, probably had a lot to do with their performances also, you know. It was great. Well, Ed, I have a couple of callers online, but and I wanted to share with you something that I received from a friend of yours in acknowledgement of who you are and who you've been with the International Black Summit. And I'm reading this from an email I received, and it says, I have known Ed for some years now, and for me, he is the essence of community. Edwin generates from a space of promoting and nurturing community. His family, both blood and family of choice, his fraternity, Omega Psi Phi, his students and co-workers are all of the elements of his community that Edwin surrounds himself with. He is a muckle great cook and excels at creating spaces and environments where he brings his community together in a space of comfort and relaxation. He is also nourished and flourishes inside his role as party master. He and his wife, Clara, create a force that is invigorating to be in the energy of. It has been a profound lesson in life watching the two of them come together as family. I expanded as a result of it. They are both a blessing to the International Black Summit family, and we are much the greater for their presence. And that is from your dear friend, Susan, from Oakland, California. So, pardon me?
I was trying to say, give one of Susan's sayings, but I don't have it quite together, so I won't try it.
Okay. So Susan and many others would like to acknowledge you on today, your efforts with your Camden group as well as the youth in the International Black Summit, and we appreciate you so much. Let me take one of the calls, and then I'll get right back. I'm trying to see the number. Hold on 1 minute. I'm just going to put you on the air because I can't see the number. I think it's 4139. Are the last four numbers? You're on the air. Hello? Okay, I guess maybe they just want to listen. Hold on. 4306. You're on the air? I don't know what happened. Ed, are you still on?
I'm still here.
Okay. Let me see what I'm doing. 4139.
Yes, this is Glenn Greenidge.
Okay. Hi, Glenn.
How's it going?
Glenn?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. Hey, Edwin.
Hey, Glenn.
Great job, buddy.
Well, I hear you say that.
Yeah, man. It's listen. You know, I know when we were down in Cherry Hill and you're kind of, you know, working it out and still going through all of the planning and being excited about it, and then to have it occur and to, you know, to have generated it so powerfully and so seamlessly from our standpoint. I know that it took a lot of hard work on your part to do that, but from the outside looking in, it was, you know, it was a tremendous job, and I just want to thank you for your commitment to the young people. I want to thank you to your commitment to the International Black Summit and to the International Black Youth Summit and all of the other people who've been impacted by your life. So thank you.
Thank you, bro.
You're welcome. My fellow Greek.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Glenn. I have another caller for 306. The last four digits, you're on the air. Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, this is Oren.
Oren.
Hey, Oren.
Hey, what's up, Ed? What's up, Glenn?
Hey, what's up, Oren?
I just got a chance to call in for a few minutes. I wasn't sure up to what time the show goes, though. So I was hoping that I caught you guys before you got off. But, you know, Henrietta called me earlier today, and I got to share some of my thoughts and acknowledgement of you, Ed, and because I wasn't sure I'd be able to be on the call tonight. But as I have an opportunity, I just wanted to call in and, you know, give say to you in person and acknowledging you for the great job and the commitment that you have for the young people and your school and for the summit. I saying to Henrietta today, for me, you epitomize the work that we do in the summit. And I put it, I put it in the terms that you keep it simple.
Mm.
You keep it simple, and it's the one of the things that I've come to acknowledge about you is you make the connection between what we do in the summit, the work we do, the distinctions that we've created over the years, and then using one's life to have that produce something in community. And you have exemplified that profoundly in the way you come to the summit, you do what you do there, you contribute there, you complain, you know, you do whatever you do, and then you go back to your community and you carry that work back and make miracles happen. I just want to acknowledge you for what you do. In the part that I was saying when you were talking to Henrietta, I say a lot of times when Ed comes, you may hear a complaint. It starts with a complaint. But you know, one of the things that we say inside the transformational work is that inside of each complaint, there's a commitment. And sometimes the first way we get to access our commitment to get conscious of it is through their complaints. And you do that when you have to do it. And inside of that, coming to the summit, you get an opportunity and you really put yourself consistently to put yourself out there consistently. And you get cleared about what your commitment is, and you go back and you do these miracles. And I think, I don't know anyone else in the summit that uses the summit work in such a very practical manner and then bring back the community, bring the community back to the summit to make that, to keep that bridge going. And it often, as Glenn mentioned today about, just mentioned a minute ago about where we were in Cherry Hill, I was so moved by that commitment and the whole, you know, the whole energy that you bring and the strength that you bring and not being afraid of what was in front of you, you know. I just want to acknowledge you, you know. I can't do it in person, but I'm here on the phone talking. So I just want to let you know that I just think you're marvelous. And an extraordinary person.
Thank you.
Human being.
Thank you, Orin. Now, let me give you a piece, all right? So this summer, we were down in Anguilla, and I was complaining. Oh, man, it was hot. The room was messed up. I was tired. I was just complaining. I thought I was sharing or something. Then Orin said, "You're always complaining about something." And then I said, "You know what? Let me just go back to my room and just clear myself, because I feel like a complaint. I'm just a big complaint." So in that moment, I really got that I had some things that I was upset about or I felt some kind of way about, and I need to work them out. Like this, and what I did was I went down to the beach by myself, and I just kind of just hung out on the beach and got those complaints, like, out of the way. Like, use that time to say, look, let me just clear myself so I can go back and have a fantastic year, because I got that I was complaining. Like, everything was showing up wrong. I couldn't have a summit because it just wasn't looking like the summit that it was supposed to be. So once I got that and I got that out the way, I think that opened up a whole lot for me this year. And I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. And that's just the, you know, what I'm speaking to is that you use the space of the summit to do that. And I think that's what the summit is about. So, you know. Again, I say I can't think of anyone who shows it on a more simple manner and in a more profound way, and you know, that gets the results.
Well, that's what we pay the whatever, how much we pay every year to come to the summit. That's what we pay for. I figure that's, you know, if you go to the store and you buy something, it's got to be worth it. You can't bring it. Like, I buy stuff at stores where you can't take it back, you know? So you can't say, hey, I want my money back from the summit, you know, that I didn't get my summit. So once you spend that money, it's up to you to get your summit.
That's right. That's right.
So
that's
you're
right.
To the value that you get, huh?
That's right. Hey. The value in the summit, yeah.
Yeah. Just for a moment, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show. I'm your host, Henrietta Bird, and we are celebrating Edwin Devon tonight. We're honoring the man who always has youth on his mind, and commitment is what I hear, everybody. And it is so wonderful to hear men acknowledging men. I'm just loving this. I'm loving every minute of it. Thank everybody so much, but go on, continue. I don't want to stop, and there is another caller that I want to hold for a couple of more minutes. So you all may continue.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Edwin.
Well, I was going to say this, that, you know, inside of this experience, you know, going to the inauguration, seeing how great, you know, that experience was, I've always lived my life out of, like, I've had several tragedies where I probably shouldn't have lived, and I've always said that there was something that the Lord was saving me for. And I kept saying to myself, was this it? Did I fulfill what I was supposed to do? You know, am I done now? Can I just go on and do something else? But that was that kind of experience for me. You know, when one of my students, I got off the bus coming home, and one of my kids were in tears, and I said, you know, we said, why are you crying? She said, I just didn't want to come home yet. I was having so much fun, you know.
Wow. Well,
I know that's the way I felt too.
That's the kind of space that you provide, though, Edwin, when you think about it, because you're the ultimate host. You know, you open up your house, and it's like a big party, a big festival. You know, people come, and you welcome them, and you have all of this food and, you know, lovely food. I mean, not just food, but great food, and you're accommodating, and you're the space of fun and joy. And but there's also something else. There's also you challenge the youth to be better beyond what they think is possible. You know, that's the thing that I saw when you're in Sacramento. That's the thing that I see in having your band be at the inauguration. You know, that's who you are. You challenge them. It's not, you're right, it's not just about the books. You actually challenge their minds to be what's possible, beyond what's possible for them. And you have them explore it and expand it in a way that is challenging to themselves and challenging to the community around them. You know, I remember you had a conversation about the band being together. And somebody was being bullied in their neighborhood, and it was up to the band to be responsible and accountable. And what the band members did amongst themselves was they started looking out for each other and making sure that everybody was going to be safe in their particular aspects of the community, and so that the band actually began to take on its own, you know, team on another level, such that they're now were protecting each other and taking care of each other in all aspects, not just through the music, but as a social network. So that's who you are.
Yeah. The other thing that I must acknowledge you for, Ed, is that You're the bridge that my experience of you've been the bridge for community. And Gwen mentioned it, Sacramento was one. And I could, for the bridge, you'd be the bridge for community on all levels. And if you're not just being for the youth, you know, you do exemplify what the declaration of the summit speaks to. And I mean, I can speak to so many instances that of my experience of you over the years. I can remember, again, when you were the host, when you stood for the summit being in Philadelphia and hosting it and, you know, doing whatever you had to do to make us comfortable and welcoming. When we had the summit there, I can remember every time we went when you were in California. Every time we went to California, you were one of the people that bring all your community together. I mean, I've never been I didn't even know about all these fraternities and stuff, but you always had us, the fraternity brothers, get to know your summit people. You always had things done in the community. With the summit people, with your brothers, you know, your fraternity brothers, always bridging gaps, always bringing community together. You always make sure that we go to the places that support our community, the businesses in our community. You always be in a stance for that. You always take us to places to eat. It was in Philadelphia. Right. I think when Philadelphia took us to that one place sometime that all of us went and eat. After that, you took us, or not Philadelphia, some other place. I can't remember, but you were there. But you were the one who initiated us going to this place and making sure we got transportation, everybody got there. And then when we were in Jersey the other day, you did the same thing. You made sure we go to a place and see the community there and be in the community, be with the business people in the community, supporting them. You know, I can think of several instances that you have consistently over the years been a stand for that in your own way, with not a whole lot of fanfare, with not a whole lot of stuff. You just do it, you get there. And of course, I've been felt so welcome and had one of the greatest times everywhere in Jersey at your home, you and Clara's home, for the planning body meeting that weekend. It was such a wonderful time. So you have been, I mean, a great example of the whole declaration of the summit, and particularly in the arena of community, building communities and economies and, you know, empowering our youth. You know, you have consistently done that. And again, I cannot stop acknowledging you for who you've been and continue to be.
Thank you. Yeah, let's talk about that. That's all the good stuff. Let's go back to the bad stuff or the other side.
The bad stuff. Well, I don't know the bad stuff that I can talk about. The only bad stuff I know that shows up at first. But the bad stuff is like, oh, God, here Ed again complaining. But again, as I said, it's always a sign of a commitment. So when I settle myself and get settled with my trigger, and I listen, and I stop to listen to the complaint and listening for with the commitment behind it. It's always a commitment. So, you know, the only complaint, the only bad stuff I can ever point to is when you start to grumble and complain at the start. But it always, as you said earlier, you use that opportunity to clear yourself. And so I really, and this is not for flattery or anything, I really can't think of anything else bad. You know, you've always been a person that, I can remember the days when you used to take on the music and production. You know, you're a facilitator of production for the summit for a number of years. I mean, you kept the music going, the speakers going, you know, in the room. And, you know, I mean, I really got no bad stuff, to tell the truth, other than when you complain. And, again, that's always behind something else is always behind that. So I can't think of anyone, and I ain't trying to flatter you.
No, you know, I use everything to help me. Like you said, to help me do something else. So right now I'm facing, like, I got these 75 kids that did this great thing, but now I have like 200 that I'm struggling with motivating. And one of their things is they're constantly complaining. We don't want to. I don't want to do that. I don't want to listen to that music. I don't want to play no music. I don't. So, what is it that, you know? You know, I got this small group, but I need to touch the masses because right now, education, we're suffering some real losses in education,
mm-hmm.
and mostly in our community.
I think you have the opportunity, Edwin, to take a look at and look at what their vision is, because I trust if you get to what their vision is, or they see their vision for themselves, they'll now focus that energy on what it is that they're committed to having shown up. You know, we talk about the bad stuff is the access to the good stuff. So it's like the front of the hand, the back of the hand. They're all useful, and it's how you're able to leverage and use them. And if you can work on each of them, working on what is their vision individually, and what is their collective vision for the community and for the world, I think that they'll be able to prioritize themselves in terms of what action needs to be taken next.
I wouldn't see any different from what Glenn is saying and from what you have done personally. You know, again, you know, most often, because I do it myself too, I start with a complaint and a lot of things. So that's why I can always hear your complaint, or that's why it probably triggers me so much sometimes. And but I think it's just about the listening. You know, you hear the complaint that the students may have, and just keep listening for what it is that they're really communicating inside of a commitment. And I think that's the conversation to constantly keep bringing them back to, like inside of that, you know, to keep training them to start with the listening, to the listening themselves as they start up with the complaint, to start after they've done it. Because you got to do that complaint thing, like you said. You have to complain, and then after you got your belly full of it, you go to the beach, and you say, oh, man, what was that about? And you get a chance to clear yourself. I don't think the process is any different for them, you know. I just think it's just a committed listener to hear them inside of that, inside of the complaint, to hear what they're committed to, and to keep bringing that back to them, because, you know, and letting them start to understand that that is a tool for them, that they can start to hear their commitment inside of their complaints and start to shift the conversation in speaking or becoming conscious of their commitment, you know. That's for one. But the other thing that I wanted to say, that I personally have been, I always see the statistics in the world about, you know, what's happening, you know, in terms of all the bad things we can think about that is happening around us. But I always say that, you know, I also know so many people that is not happening to, or that is doing something differently, that is doing something that is a commitment, you know. So when you said in terms of we're losing so many people in education and things like that, but, you know, we just had a major band went down to Washington, D.C. I witnessed the inauguration of the first black president, and they were part of it, and they came out from, you know, one of the toughest areas. So there is, and they came up from the high school, and there was, you know, some miracle did occur there. There's something occurred, and it just gives me, you know, like you could see, like Glenn says, you know, the analogy you used, the front of the hand and the back of the hand. Yes, there are all those other things happening, but even inside of our own communities, inside of our everyday lives, we see a lot of good things. So. Sometimes I think, for me, where my thoughts have been is always keeping getting more conscious of the good things, because I think if that keeps conscious, it gives me hope, it gives me more belief, it gives me more strength to do it. And especially when I look back at myself doing it, you know, you are a great example, and the community you're in is a great example in terms of the good things that happen inside of all the bad things. You know, all the other challenging things for the community, but sure, you're shining, and your group of people, even with all the issues at hand for them, and all the challenges involved, and all the negative things that they do sometimes, you're still, you know, I mean, if you're going to take anything as a barometer or as a marker, they, you know, it wasn't an easy thing for you guys to get to the inauguration, and you accomplished that. You know,
right. The other thing, excuse me, gentlemen, just for one moment. The other thing is maybe is it possible that the help or the assistance that you're looking for is a part of the stimulus plan that the president is trying to, you know, mandate, because he's mandated money for the arts and, you know, different things. Is it possible that some of the help that you're looking for might be in that? What do you think about that?
Oh, well, I think we're putting a whole lot on his shoulders now. he might be that guy to make it all come, you know, become right. It's possible. I'm not going to say it's not, but I didn't look to him to have my kids learn some respect and discipline. But you know what? In one way, I can see that happening, because we had one young lady that went on a trip that was really poor discipline. She didn't go to classes, all that. Since we've been back, she's made it a strong effort to go to all her classes. You know, that's what people coming up to me telling me, hey, you know, Brittany's going to all her classes now. She said she's changed her life. So maybe just in the fact that these kids are witnessing what's possible, you know, it could be changing it for them.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Absolutely. One of the things, the two things that I saw in this conversation, and one is that the 75 that you have are now the leaders to work with the other 100 and whatever to get them. You know, to work with them and get them going in the direction that you want everybody to go in. The other thing is that the fact that you've been able to do this, your community now is sensitized and realizes that there's some positive things that are going, so it's a perfect opportunity for you to keep engaging them now, not to just have it like a one shot, but now we've got a series of things that we want to do, London being one of them, and there may be some other things that you want to do around the community to keep engaging the community, because you've done a lot of broadcasting and a lot of marketing of what you're up to, so it's now to keep that going.
Yeah, I hear you, Glenn. And, the one-shot deal kind of sounded really good, because everybody wasn't supportive. Let me put that out there. This wasn't like we're all behind you, let's go do this, you know, rah, rah, rah. Uh-huh. There were some real deterrents, and if this was a race and we were hurdlers, oh, man, we knocked some hurdles down. We finished the race, but there were some big hurdles out there to jump.
But you did it. The important thing is that you did it. It wasn't like, you know, we're not talking about why you didn't make it. We're talking about how you made it and that you made it, you know. And I know it wasn't easy. I know it was not easy. And even after you made it, I'm sure it was not easy, but you did it. Or it was done through you, you know. And it's wonderful that you opened yourself up so that it would occur, and that you have 75 students now who can possibly become mentors for other students, because you kind of raised the bar as far as a performance is concerned about what can occur, you know, when you do a particular thing, when you're at a certain level. It's you know, I know it's like coming down off of a mountain right now, but you've done it, and it was well done. You know, it just wasn't done, it was well done. And that's great. And that's kind of why we are acknowledging you. And whatever is next, like London is next, everything that you did to have the inauguration experience, it's just like a training ground for what you will need to have London occur.
And,
it really
and
is.
Don't forget that we have this distinction called noticing, and you get to notice what occurred, what didn't occur, and opportunity, you know, what were the opportunities that lied in both. You know, yes, you didn't win over everybody. You had some resistance, and you get to notice that resistance, and you get to see if there's something to do with it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you also get to see who your supporters were and what they're up to, and you know, what are they looking for or able to support going forward as you move yourself and your group and your community towards whatever's next.
You know what I associated with? If you've ever had gotten a new car or a new house or something, and then you notice some people just start, maybe you start acting different, but people call you on it. You think you're
Well, you know what? It's interesting that you brought that up, because that's a great segue into what I was going to acknowledge you for, because if you remember when we were in New Orleans, and the subject came up about having a church service, and I was used to a certain, you know, I was used to the Summit having a church service. And I just remember that you are a person that people go to for things. And when I walked over and mentioned it to you, your response, I don't know if you remember it, but your response was, everybody's here, not everybody here is not Christian. And I said, well, I understand that, because at that particular time, I really thought you were speaking about yourself. But when you said that, it made me present to all the other religions that were in the room, or denominations of Christianity, and that, you know, it could have been a roadblock, but it actually was a stepping stone into, you know, what I remember to be one of the greatest services I've ever attended, where it was all inclusive, and you were one of the what do you call it? You know, sometimes channels to you know, to have that occur, because you were a stand or a commitment for not just being for one religion. You know, that if we had a service, that it would be for everyone. And so, you know, I think to know who you are, to know that. I guess just to allow yourself to be this person that we are acknowledging, you know, and for you to acknowledge yourself for some of the wonderful things that you've been a stand for is kind of what we're talking about tonight, Ed. You know, not the bad things, as you say, but the wonderful things, because we can't really find the bad things, you know. But the wonderful things that you have done to have the youth be who they are in your school system, and to have the youth summit be what it is, you know, and to have the summit, the adult summit as well, you know, to do the music, to do, you know, to be a facilitator. And, you know, and as you said, a facilitator can be a person who empties the trash, or keeps the conversation going and everything in between there. And, you know, my observation is that you've done many of those things. So today, you know, we just want to say thank you to Edwin Devon for all the many wonderful things that he has done for the universe and the community and the International Black Summit. There's another caller. And the call-in number, by the way, is 646-716-9827, 646-716-9827. I have another caller, Ed, on the line. Caller, you are on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Wonderful. So I just want to say, Ed, congratulations, kudos, and this is a really wonderful opportunity for you to be acknowledged for the work that you did taking the kids on the inauguration trip to Washington. The thing that's really phenomenal is your leadership. Like, you are not a silent leader, but you never take the credit for being leader. And I think in this instance especially, you were a phenomenal leader. You put together a wonderful team of people who had your back in a lot of different ways to make things happen. You know, everything that you needed, you pulled it together. And you really exemplify. Orin was talking earlier about parts of the Declaration, and the part of the Declaration that really sticks out for me is unpredictable results. I have seen you in the time that we have been married and I've known you manifest things. And I don't know if you're conscious of it or not, but you kind of speak a thing and then the universe just lines up and it happens and it's phenomenal. And to me, it appears like it's pretty effortless, although, as Orin says, you do complain as you're going through the process. But for those of us on the outside looking in, all we see is that everything is just coming together when you decided to have the summit share here in Cherry Hill. And I'm like, look at that man go. He's just declared that thing. We're going to have it here. And it wasn't until maybe, I don't know, a few weeks before, maybe a month before the event, and I was like, that means we have to host. I got present to. Okay. It all came together, you know, and you did your thing, and people showed up, and you always take care of everyone in terms of, you know, bringing everything into the community. I think you're really phenomenal. And the other quality about you that is so amazing is you're very humble. You know, you don't take credit for the contributions that you make. But simply put, if you hadn't declared that these children would be going to play at the inauguration, it wouldn't have happened. You know, if you didn't declare that the International Black Summit was coming to Cherry Hill, New Jersey, you know, it would not have happened. And I see you as a man of vision and a man who manifests those things that are in vision. So you were saying earlier, what did God keep you around for? You know, God kept you around because he's put a vision in your heart, and you're living that vision. You are living that vision. You are touching so many people, and I don't know if you even know if you're aware of it, you know, in your humility. You're a pretty amazing man. And I just want to acknowledge you on the show tonight and let you know how much I love you. And I'm sure by the comments of all of the other people who called in and who wrote in, you know, they love you too, and the International Black Summit loves you.
Well, thank you, Claire. You all notice when Claire speaks, I listen.
That acknowledges two things: that you're a white man.
That's the character and example of a great leader. That's the same thing Barack says about Michelle.
Hello. That's great. Thank you so much. That's Clara. Thank you so much, Glenn and Orin, and the email we received from Susan. So all over from the East Coast to the West Coast, Midwest here, Chicago, we are acknowledging Ed Devon tonight for his commitment just to being the great person that he is. We are so blessed to have you in the International Black Summit and on the air tonight. Ed talked about, he's mentioned several times, about taking a group to London. And London, England is where the summit is being held this year, the first weekend in August. It begins actually the last Thursday in July. And, you know, we welcome everyone to come and register. If you go to internationalblacksummit.org, you can register and see all the information. And if you would like to call in tonight before we go, we have about 14 minutes left. Our call-in number is 646-716-9827. Any future plans other than London? I mean, you know, I know that's one of your plans, but is there anything that, Ed, that you would like to say about, you know, maybe a shout-out to the band or, or something like that that you would like to say about your trip to the inauguration?
Well, Claire brought it up, and at the beginning of the year, we just start, like, bringing on people as a staff, because this wasn't, like, something I just made happen by myself. And I want to acknowledge all those people that came on as part of our staff, and we're really into the vision. I mean, as the band grew, we had, like, bus drivers that were drivers places, and then the next thing you know, they said they wanted to be in part of the vision. After they had their bus routes, they would come back after school and help us out. So, you know, it was a whole lot of people like that just saw the vision and just fell right in, and it wouldn't have been possible without them. This wasn't me just waving a wand and it happened. It was a bunch of people that wanted their children to be involved, and a bunch of people that came together and said, "We're gonna make this happen." And I'm kind of selfish in it. Like Claire calls me humble, but this just makes my life more exciting. You know, I could go to work and come home every day, and it would be just like it is. But to come up with stuff and then see it manifest and then live into it, it's just an exciting way to live a life. I'm enjoying it. In between the complaining.
In between. It's like, Glenn, I think I see, do I see a hand raised, Glenn?
Do you see what?
Glenn, I see I see a hand raised. I didn't know if you were trying to get a word in or something.
No, I'm just really thinking about all of the young people that got impacted by this trip, and,
right?
And I'm just looking forward to, you know, I'm really looking forward to what's next. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, I know Edwin said London, but I know that there's going to be some other things in the community that the community can work on, put together, and I want to offer any of the conversations around business and growth and money and wealth, if you want to supply that kind of education or include that in your curriculum for your young people, you know. And the other thing to consider is that we've got this Blog Talk Radio, and it might be something that they may want to participate in and have their own show.
That's right.
So there's lots of possibilities going forward, and I don't know, you know, what makes the most sense. Edwin is the closest to that conversation, but I offer all of those things up and offer my support and my help in having it happen.
Yeah, that's great, Glenn. That's great. And same here, you know, anything that I can do in Chicago, just let me know. Ideas, you know, fundraising, I was just thinking, fundraising ideas or whatever. And then I think Adrienne is also a good source, because she brought a group to a group of students to New Orleans for the summit as well as the inauguration. She brought a group of students, so she might, you know, be a good source of, you know, how to do that as well. I'm just volunteering her. But we are behind you, Ed. We are thankful for for your effort, you know, just, you know, not just in acknowledgement, but just in how it has us be, you know. When you find somebody who's done such great work, it really wakes you up and it makes you want to do more, you know, and that's who you are to us. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, God, what have I done lately? You know, have I, you know, I could, you know, could I volunteer or could I do something else? You know, and every time you say, every time someone say a complaint, you know, it's like, it's okay to complain if you're working on something, you know, but it's when you complain and you're not doing anything that it's, you know, that it's irritating. So your complaints, I like the way Oren said it. Oren said inside his complaint is always a deep, deep commitment, you know, and so that I think is such a great model for us to follow, that if we are complaining, make sure that on the inside of that complaint there's a commitment, and not just a commitment, but a deep, deep commitment. I think that's a great, you know, a great model to follow in 2009.
Yeah. Speaking of commitments, Henrietta, one of the things that I wanted to share with listening audience, in our Atlanta segment, they will be coming together. They're actually having a gathering out of the energy and excitement of the inauguration, but there'll be a summit share in Atlanta February the 28th that's coming up. So for people who are in that area who want to learn more about the International Black Summit and what we're up to, and share what their vision is or what they're excited about. There's an opportunity in Atlanta at the end of this month for people to go and learn more about the International Black Summit.
Ed, one thing I want to know, I know you did mention the intention or commitment to have the children, the young people in England. Is that still a goal of yours?
Yeah, maybe not 75.
Pardon?
Maybe not 75 students, but we'll look and see who's willing to play, what parents are willing to support it.
Okay. Well, I just, you know, I would like to make a commitment to, you know, I will be sending some kind of money towards that goal. I'm making to, you know, to facilitate and having that happen. So okay. I'll make a contribution. Okay?
That's a tease right there.
Okay, the ball is rolling.
Get the ball rolling again, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, that's coming up for my stimulus package.
Okay. Well, once again, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show, and we are. I'm Henrietta Bird, standing in for Takesha tonight, in celebration of Ed Devon, one of the wonderful facilitators of the International Black Summit, as well as one of the people who was instrumental in taking a band, a jazz band, a marching band, and a drumline to the inauguration, and stopping along the way and performing in different states and cities along the way from Camden to D.C. We so honor him tonight for the work that he's done in New Jersey at Camden High School, as well as with the International Black Summit. The International Black Summit will be in London, England this year, the first weekend in August. It actually starts the last day of July, the last Thursday in July. And we invite you all to go to the website, internationalblacksummit.org, and register. And if you would like to attend the summit share, just send an email and someone will respond to you shortly. Our thanks tonight go out to Oren, and in New York, thank you so much for calling in. You did a much better job than I would have done reading it. It was great to hear your voice and for Ed to actually, you know, hear the words come from you. And thank you to Susan Shelton, who sent her email with acknowledgement for Ed. And thanks, of course, to Clara, Ed's wonderful wife. Nothing's greater than to be acknowledged by the one who was closest to you. And from Chicago, Ed, we thank you here. To Keisha, actually, I'd like to, you know, just acknowledge you for Keisha because, you know, this is a show that she was really looking forward to doing, but because she's in belief, she couldn't make the technology wasn't working for her. So I appreciate the fact that she allowed me to sit in for her because this is a wonderful, wonderful show. So with that, we have a couple of minutes left, and Ed, this is just for you. So you can say with
Glenn now.
Glenn, I apologize, Glenn. Also, and I'm looking right at your name and your phone number. Glenn, thank you so much, as always, for your acknowledgement of Ed and for always being here on Sunday. And remember, Glenn's show is the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, and it's wealth building. Glenn, the time of your show?
It's from 6:30 to 8 p.m.
Eastern time, from 6:30 to 8 Eastern time. Okay, and that's the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. Okay, now, Ed, it's your turn. Any last words for us?
Okay. Henrietta, before you go to Ed, I just want to thank the people who are in the chat room. I think Joyce is in the chat room, too.
I didn't see. Okay, great.
Yeah,
so Joyce in the chat room.
Acknowledgements out to Ed as well. Okay.
Okay, so Joyce is sending acknowledgement to you, Ed, but she's doing it via the chat room.
Okay.
I
wanted to share that this project was all of our project. It was an inclusive project. It was like I can relate back to things that each and every one of you has said to me in the last year or two that just led up to making this happen. To Keisha or Susan, one or two of them got me real present too. Like this is a big project for all of us, you know, and we made it come true. You know, if it was financial or it was just verbal support or whatever you did or said or didn't do, it all made this come true. And that's the kind of energy that we're gonna have to put in our community to see things. Be like that big journey. Like we all make Obama become the next president, so we can all cure AIDS or cancer or whatever else when we put our mind to it. Like it's amazing things possible once we put our mind to it.
True that.
And thank you so much, Ed. We really appreciate you again. And this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Radio. Looking forward to seeing you again, listening to you again on Tuesday, second and fourth Tuesday, and every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. Good night, and God bless.
And thank you, Henrietta.
Thank you.
Thank you, Henrietta. You've been wonderful.
Thank you, Ed.
Good job, Henrietta.
Thanks, Glenn.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Mooya.
Mooya. Mooya. Mooya.
Oh, what?
Okay,
thank you, Glenn. That ends our episode. We're in a space of Acacia and Celebration, and we will be in Belize in April. Good night, Glenn.